start our teaching today, the book of Acts chapter 5. The book of Acts has been exciting to me. I don't know about you all. Going back and reviewing the book of Acts has been real good. Just thank God. All right. Thank you, God, for your goodness. When we last studied in the book of Acts, chapter 5, if I'm not mistaken, we were dealing with Ananias and Sapphira. And there were a couple things that were taking place there that I wanted to talk to everybody about or remind everybody. There were three things that stuck out on Wednesday night. One was deception, that they were trying to deceive people into believing that they were like Barabbas or Barnabas, Joseph, that's his name, that they were like the other gentleman who had given all of his money or property for the support of the church. In saying that, I even want to go back and remind everybody that now we see them building, even though it doesn't say it, they are building a new church. The church that currently or previously existed lacked power. The reason I say that is when you came up to the door of the temple, you found a man who'd been laying there for 40 years and hadn't received any type of help toward his situation. He had to always take handouts. Sometimes I think that's where we like to keep certain people instead of making their lives better, you know, make them or keep them dependent on us. And so we see that every day they took him and laid him at the door of the temple. And obviously he'd been able to sustain himself because if you find a good spot, you go back there. And so for all these years, he's gone back to the temple and the people of the temple have given him what they have. Alms. Blessed him. But on this particular day or that particular day, Peter and John came and they said, silver and gold we don't have. We don't have any of that, but such as we have, we'll give you. And y'all know from there, you know, he was healed. And there's this change going on in the church that had been established, the church that God loved. There was something new happening. Even after Jesus had left, there's something new going on. And he extends the power that God gave him to these apostles so that they would be able to do the work in the earth. He challenged them to wait on him or to wait for the Spirit before they went out and began to be witnesses of him. And they did, and they went out. And what I start seeing is that as people are converted, they begin to connect themselves with the teachers of truth. They begin to follow them wherever they're going. And so if they were at the temple, these people were at the temple. If they were in the field, the people were in the field. Wherever they were, that's where the people were. If they were at somebody's house, they were at somebody's house. They were wherever their teachers were because the teachers were impacting their lives. Their lives were being changed by the word of God. Things that they had not seen happen in the church up to that time were happening. It was their history. We got brought out of Egypt and God did this and God did that and God did that. And that was the thing that made everybody afraid of them, is that they knew that God was with them. Man, God is with these people. He brought a plague and he killed the firstborn children and he did this and he did that and he parted the Red Sea. And they were living on history, on past things. And y'all know we all get caught up there sometimes talking about what used to be, how things were, and looking back to the good old days. You know, that's why we look back to the good old days, per se, because we're not doing anything at the time. And so it's better to look back because right now nothing's happening. And so they were living on legacy. But based on what I'm seeing, really had no relationship with God themselves. They had religious tradition, but had No relationship. And as you look at these, y'all, as we walk through these, skipping forward to chapter 5, around verse 11, right after Ananias and Sapphira offer this offering, which if they had just said, here's an offering, if they hadn't have put on the front of, we've given you all the money from the purchase of our house, everything would have been fine. It would have been acceptable sacrifice, would have been no problem, but they told a lie. And the question that I asked on Wednesday night that I'm going to ask again today in this public forum is, how could they possibly feel so comfortable as to see all these miracles happening and lie in the presence of the Holy Spirit? That says to me that the power had been missing a long time. There was no necessity, no fear, no necessity to be respectful because nothing was happening before. And so God lets them know that, oh, no, you're in a new church now. And they lie to the Holy Spirit. And while the man is in there lying, he's also dying. He falls down and they carry him out and they bury him outside. And it says in the scripture that in the space of 3 hours, his wife comes. And Peter just says, hey, I'm curious about something. Did y'all sell the land for, you know, such and such amount? Yeah, we did. Sure, we did. And Peter said, I don't understand how you have conspired together to lie to the Holy Ghost. Wow. Y'all don't get this. They condemned their house with their lies. They condemned their house. And he says, well, the feet of those guys you see over there are the feet of the ones that carried your husband out when he told that lie, and they're going to carry you out. And she falls dead right there and is carried out of the temple. I would say to you that as much as we want the power of God at the house of God, some of y'all don't want it to come quite like that. But why not? The why not is because I still kind of want to do some things which challenges who we are. And that might be why the power left the church before, because they weren't desiring purity even at that time. And so, you know, the scripture says a little leaven leavens the lump. And so it was just a little lie over here, you know, one day, a little lie over here and a little lie over there. Matter of fact, if we go back when they were out there doing their thing, y'all remember when they are walking around and seven times around the city and shouted and the walls came down. It was like, oh, my God. And then there's this battle later. Right. And God says, go in there, tells them, go take that city. Go do the thing. Don't take nothing, though. He requires obedience. Don't take nothing. And I can't remember that guy's name. I think it's Achan. Achan goes in and he's like, but it's so pretty. It's so pretty. Man, I can't leave here without that. You know, and he grabs it and goes and hides it under the floor of his tent. And they go back out and they have this battle. And they've been waxing people's butt. They've been tearing them up. And they're talking about how powerful Israel is. And this little band of guys that they go up against whoop their butt. And they run back because they're like, oh, I'm not sure what just happened. Something's wrong. Yeah. And you start to speculate. What could it be? The only warning we had was don't take anything. And they begin to, hey, okay, listen, somebody did something. And they begin to call houses and God start giving them by this name and by that name and start to narrow it down. And then, nope, it's in this house. And God give them a word of knowledge. Nope, it's in this tribe of this house. It's in this family. And they finally narrow it down to the boy. And he stands there and he said, what'd you do? Well, see, what had happened was, I just couldn't let that go. And so I took it. Where is it? Well, I buried it, you know, in my tent, in the dirt underneath some stuff. It's buried there. Okay, go get it. And they went and got it and brought it back. Said, but don't do just that. Bring his tent, his entire family, all his dogs, his cat, his cattle, bring it up. And they kill and destroy everything that belongs to him. God ain't never been a plaything. I need y'all to hear me. God has never been a plaything. But there comes a time where sometimes you need it proved to you. I just saw someone dealing. God, thank you, Jesus. There are times where you just won't stop. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And then when your fingers get clapped up in there, no. All you had to do was keep your hands back. Stop. Stay out of that. But you kept on, and this is what you wanted, so this is what you're gonna get. Y'all ain't hearing me. And so that attitude, this is my assumption. Although that happened way back then, they weren't seeing anything happen. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees had become the power, and they needed snitches. The captain of the temple, they needed snitches. They needed somebody to come and tell them that things were going on, and then they would prosecute them. Come, we'll do whatever. But see where the Holy Spirit is. He'll give you a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. He'll let you see. He'll show you things that are going on around you. It's better to have God on your side than 10,000 people to tell you, because God can tell you something they never see. Wow. Y'all ain't hearing me. So they've lacked the power of God. And you see all this stuff. And I get it, man. I get it. We were at this service. I was telling y'all, remember when I came back last November and I was telling you about how much money they raised at this church and how it was going, and they were running up and running. And I was wondering how many of those people just wanted to be a part of what? And how many of them said they were gonna and never really did? Because see, when you're not afraid of God getting you, you do a lot of stuff. And I can tell you right now, I can tell you personally, God can trouble your sleep if you don't want to listen to him. He can keep you from sleeping well at night, because he'll be talking to you about, okay, now, keep playing. He will upset some things and all of that. The worst place to be is where Ananias and Sapphira are, because they just saw people do miracles and chose to lie. I mean, stop and think about what I'm saying to you. Stop and think about what I'm saying. They are healing the sick. They are doing everything Jesus did. They are feeding folks and things are happening. And woo, this is the biggest new thing. I want a piece of this. He missed the point. They missed the big picture. I don't want y'all to miss the picture this morning. This thing's got to be about God, man. And about what we do for him. And what we do for him needs to be a real thing. A $2 thing. You know what I'm saying? A $2 thing, real, is better than a $2,000 thing that's fake with God. I don't have a two quarters. A two quarter thing is better with God than $1 million. You know, and we could do a lot with $1 million. Yeah. But I'm saying for the individual. Because, see, they still had the money even after they buried him. It just didn't benefit him. Excuse me. Them. The apostles still had the money and the church still said thank you. Yeah. But it did not benefit the one that chose to lie to the Spirit of God. Y'all got me? Can I just say, sometimes some things are tempting enough to make you want to lie to the Holy Spirit. It's not a profitable position. Ain't nobody hearing what I'm saying to you. So they fall dead and something happens. That didn't happen because of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the captain of the temple. I think it's around verse number 11. Go there. Wow. So in verse 11, it says, or these are my paraphrases because I'm trying to get a little further. Fear and respect was restored. Would y'all agree? Yes. Let me read 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Fear and respect, reverent respect. See, we don't understand who God is with a thought he could stop your breathing. Not even a gesture, just a. Your heart stops beating because you're a part of his system. When he's tired of dealing with you, he just moves. Because it's been stuff trying to get to you the whole time, but he's been running interference. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. And we forget that it's not us, it's God that has brought us to this place, because for so long we've been doing it on our own, so we thought. Somebody say, but God. So verse 11, fear is restored to the church. Verse 12, it says that signs and wonders are performed by the apostles' hands among the people, right? And they were all on one accord. Now, let me tell you a dangerous place to be. I don't know that I'd be a good preacher in Kansas City. Maybe now. I've been gone 40 years. You know, I've been gone 40 years. But when I was there, probably wouldn't have worked for me all that well. I know your mama. It's your mama out to me. Gilbert ran your daddy. Yeah, Boone Harvey. That's your grandpa, right? Yeah, I know Boone. I hire you a preacher, huh? All right, then. Y'all get it. And so the things that I could do in Georgia, I may not have been able to accomplish in Kansas City. Just because, well, you a pudgy little fella. I kind of remember you. When you were little, wait a minute now. Now, I've seen some pictures of you were skinny, but at some point you're like, you was a fat little rascal. You the one, right? The jacked up afro. Yeah, that's me. Oh, you gonna lead some people now, right? Y'all get it? And so you have to be willing to hear God and go where he sends you. He puts you in a place where he can be effective through you for his benefit. And most of the church today doesn't want to be discomforted, pressed upon to go somewhere else, even though God is saying go. And it's the most beneficial place you can find yourself is where God puts you. Where he puts you. And this church, that whole thing about they spoke with boldness, when you understand the real mindset of the Sadducees and Pharisees, is he ain't scared of us. They're not scared of us. That's the boldness. They ain't talking about the boldness of the Holy Spirit. They didn't forgot what the Holy Spirit looked like, because if they knew, they wouldn't be on them. They're upset because these cats ain't scared of us. Oh, they're not real smart. They're unlearned because they don't know what we can do. No, partner, you don't know what they can do. Wow. That's the best place for us to be. Underestimated with God in us. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. I just got that one. God, no. That's the best place for us to be. Underestimated. And just let that hallelujah come up out of you. Wow, I hate to see what God is about to do. See, we always want to set it off. But he said, let me set it off. You know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We got to learn to trust him in everything. Because see, when I exact vengeance, it's got to come from someplace inside me, which defiles me. For me to set it off, I've got to let the anger rage for it to come up out of me. Y'all got it? So I don't look like love anymore. But while God is beating the slobber out of your mouth, love can come out of me and say, have mercy, Lord. You were praying for me. I know it's God. I have mercy, God. Because you know the extent to which God can go. And he will go on your behalf. Y'all ain't hearing me this morning. So as we find ourselves in the book of Acts, man, there's some phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal things here, man. As I look at this, I'm just like, wow, look at God. And so when you go down past 13, all that, then it says in verse 14 that many believers are added. Get this, not to the church. Yes, they added to the church, but this is to the Lord. They're believing on the Lord. Then 15, 16, talk about the sick folks. Brought for healing on couches in the cities round about Jerusalem. And I want you to understand that the church has been there all this time. And this is the first time they bringing people to Jerusalem. Because there's some stuff happening over there now. They had a big old temple over there before, but they got some fellas over there now. They're making some stuff happen. And people start going home. Hey, bring Auntie so-and-so and get so-and-so, get him on that bed. Let's take him down there, man, because there's some stuff happening over in Jerusalem. And maybe, maybe, just maybe, they'll get changed. Is it possible? We could be the next church to let God have his way. To pray over somebody and they get healed. To believe God for something and it take place in their lives. And many of y'all got people calling you asking, hey, would you pray for me? They're calling you for a reason. They believe that there's something in your prayers that will change things. Wouldn't it be nice if you just aligned yourself with God the way you needed to, that when you prayed confidently and you could just say to them, baby, it's going to be okay in 2 days. I heard the Lord say it's about to turn around for you. And in their hearts, they just feel this confidence and you see them change from that moment because they believe that you believe. Somebody need to hear me. Hallelujah. Whew. Glory to God. So we go forward, verse 17. Then the high priest rose up and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. You know, they could have made themselves look real good. Just acknowledging God and jumping on board. But they mad. And the question I asked Wednesday night is, why is the church mad when God is doing something? It is because it wasn't being done by them, by their hands. They had, I said on the internet yesterday, they have forsaken the power of God for positions of power themselves. And so they were the authority. And when you're the authority, then it's only the power you have that can do things. But when you allow God to be the authority, God's power is limitless. Yes? And so when you put God, get this, in charge of your house, you just took the limits off your house. In charge of your checkbook, you give your car to him. Your car be running when the mechanic said, I don't even know how it's starting. And you be chugging down the road. I'm just waiting on another blessing. Baby, you riding in a blessing right now. Man, I know I have given cars to people that was running fine for me. And they got two blocks from the house and that motherfucker, huh? And they come back, hey man, I do it. Hey, we must not have the same grace is all I'm saying. Cause it was running fine for me. Sometimes God is doing more for you because you belong to him. To him. Y'all with me? That's the challenge, man. To give everything you have back to God. That's what they were doing. Nothing that I have, God can't have. Which means I got to open my house up to people. Which means I got to open my stuff up to people. Which means I may have to share a meal with people. Y'all know what I'm saying? So that God could get glory. So, wow. Verse 18 through 23, y'all. They arrest them for healing people and preaching in the name of Jesus. For healing people. And they were upset with their teachings. You are teaching stuff. And they arrest them. Verse 23, right, y'all? I had this funny little thing. It's like catch and release, man. Like the fishermen do. They caught him, threw him in jail, and the angel went and turned him loose, right? It's like, y'all go back to doing what you're doing. I know they tried to set you back. And my assumptions, I have three assumptions. My assumption would be that the evidence by itself would prove who the apostles were. But when a person is dead spiritually, they can't see God. Wait, and they were leading people. And Jesus said, blind leaders of the blind. They didn't even get that they were blind leaders of blind folks. They all walking in a circle and have no idea where they're going. My second, is there a release, miraculous release from prison? Ought to have given some indication of who they were. And third, their message. Yo, man, we talking about that dude y'all killed. The one that rose up, the one whose body y'all still ain't found, but over 500 people saw after y'all killed it. You don't know what you're talking about. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying, man. Verse 26. Let's go there. Wow, this stuff good. This is just my background. Lord have mercy. Then went the captain with the officers who brought them without violence. Look, they're scared to deal with them the wrong way now because of all this stuff. They starting to get a little respect. Starting, you think, to get a little respect. For they feared the people lest they should have been stoned. The people know. How is it the people know? And the leaders don't know. See, they have gotten caught up in what they want. And I want y'all to understand that sometimes we get captivated by the things we want. You ever been there? You know, for a long time, you know what's right and wrong. First time, you feel guilty about whatever the thing was. Second time, you feel a little bit less guilty. Third time, you feel a little less guilty. Fourth time, you're convicted. Oh, my God, I got to do better. Fifth time, you forgot all about it. Right? And then all of a sudden, it's just what you do. And you forget that you have a God watching. And I'm thinking, that's what happened to the church. You know those introductions. What's up, partner? Good to see you. Right, Reverend so-and-so, you know, those introductions in the marketplace. That thing could get you caught up. I remember when I left Montezuma had been hard on me. And I got to Macon and God let me flourish in Macon. And they invited me to everything. And our little bitty mayor didn't understand. I was hobnobbing and rubbing elbows with a real mayor of a real city. And I'm going to his meetings and I'm being called to lead prayers and all of that. And I'm at this and I'm at that. Now I'm sitting on the board of this, that, or other. And they invited me to stuff. And I told my wife, I got to stop. Lord, there's so much free stuff you could do. Oh, my God. People want you everywhere. It was a good feeling to be wanted. That's what messes up some marriages, too. Messes up some relationships. Hear me. Y'all see me, right? Hey, waving it high. They got caught up. They were friends with the police chief. Hey, listen, we got a fella down there at the temple and he's preaching. And we have an issue with him. I was wondering if you could just stop by, help us with him. We'll be right on down there. We'll come down, we'll bring some men. They bring in, I got some connections. Listen, anytime y'all have a problem, go down and see so-and-so. You know, bring them there. Pretty soon, you know, they ain't praying about nothing. You know, I got an issue. I know what to do. Hey, catch up. Pretty soon, well, that's pretty good. Then people get scared. You know, You get the church man upset, man. He'll call the folks on you, boy. You know, think about what has happened at the church, y'all. And pretty soon they're not asking God, and God is more powerful. They've been stopped asking God. Long since stopped asking God about things. Matter of fact, most theologians talk about the 400 years of silence that the church had. They had not had a new word from God in either 400 years or 70 years. I can't remember, y'all. It had been a long time since they heard from God. Then came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. Wow. Suddenly there's this new word. I mean, there was a deadness of the church for all this time. And then John the Baptist comes and he's full of the Spirit, been full of the Spirit in his mama's womb. I mean, you know, he comes preaching with power, with the Spirit they haven't had in a long time. Pastor, what are you trying to tell me? There's power in the Spirit of God. A power that we all need. It is the power to create change wherever we are. Y'all got it? So then we get over here and verse 28, they say to him, didn't we tell y'all not to teach? Now look, this is pretty big, y'all. You have filled Jerusalem with this teaching, doctrine. You intend on bringing his blood upon us. Wait a minute, y'all. You intend on. Who killed him? You intend on bringing his blood on us. Wait a minute. He wouldn't be dead if it wasn't for y'all. Wow. What is it when you don't want to accept guilt for what you've done? They can't even see it. So here's where we pick up. And I'm not going to spend much time here because I think even the review was good today. Amen. But in verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged from a tree. Wait. Whew. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now wait, just not long ago they said these are unlearned men. And these brothers are cutting them pretty doggone deep. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them who, wow, who what? That's big at this moment. That's what he gives to them that obey him. Get that? Who are you saying that to? It is the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey him. It's as if they're saying the reason you don't have the Spirit of God is because you don't obey God. Whew. You know, before I go further, Jesus said, when you fast, don't do it to be seen. Wash your face. Go out in public. Let no man know that you're fasting. When you do your alms, do them in secret. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand do. When you pray, go inside your closet. That was contrary to everything they did. When they prayed, he said, for something, I can't remember the word he used, you stand on street corners preaching long prayers and all that. Why? To be seen. Huh? You do your alms, you do your good deeds so people can photo op, engrave that. They were doing everything they did to be seen. Thus, they were displeasing God by their actions. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Motives. Why are you doing what you're doing? If nobody sees you, would you still do it? If nobody knew, would you still do it? Y'all get it? Because if you wouldn't do it if nobody knew, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Wow. Help us, Lord. 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Y'all look. Not repent. They were cut to the heart and tried to figure out how we can kill them. Now wait, if I'm not mistaken, one of the commandments is, thou shall not kill. Church is out of order. Come on, am I right? The church is out of order, man. All right, Shorty, you smiling right now. All right. What y'all think? We got to figure out a way to get them, because they blaming us for everything that went on. But wait a minute, y'all the mafioso. Y'all did it. And we're trying to bring it back to your door, and you don't want to receive the package. My God, man. 34. Then stood up there one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel. This dude is all right, y'all. A doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. I heard Chelsea say, somebody had heard this sermon years ago. Chelsea said something. She came in the house the other day. She said, check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's what Gamaliel was saying. He said, check yourselves. That's what he's telling them. Check yourselves. He said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days there rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught, nothing. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perishing, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to nothing. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Stop. Right up in the middle of them is a man of wisdom who had obviously connection with God. And he said, y'all, let's look at the history. We got some history. I think we should leave them alone. If it ain't nothing, it'll go away. But if it is, even he a little, I ain't sure, but starting to look a little authentic to me. We might ought to leave this thing alone. I want to do 39 again. But if it be of God, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say amen. You cannot overthrow it. You know what he's doing? Confirming the word. You know what the word says? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If it is of God, you can't overthrow it. No weapon formed against it shall prosper. Y'all are not hearing me. Somebody ought to say amen in here. Glory to your name, God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They stood the test of time, y'all, because here we are, 2018. and we're still talking about Jesus Christ. 2018 years later, we're still talking about Jesus Christ. Y'all get it? Lives are still being changed. And it's not a band of 400 anymore, like for thoughtists. It's not whatever. There have been, I'm sure we could say billions, who have come to God through the name of Jesus Christ, who have been saved by the blood of the Lord. Amen? And so they learned to leave it alone, and it stood the test of time. And I got to tell y'all something. The church that we are a part of, this that we are a part of, has stood the test of time. And if you remain faithful to God and allow him to use you, man, the things that you will see, the things you open yourself up to. And I just wanted to remind everybody that just looking at that, they had enemies. The church was their enemy. The church was their enemy. I don't care what God's doing. Get them out of here. Wow, how stupid does that sound coming out the church? God might be using them, but I ain't tell them they could do it. Exactly who are you? You know, I just want God to be pleased with me. Amen. Can I just say, you know, sometimes we just need to make confession that, you know what, God, I struggle to do. Amen. Like you say to do. But it's worth the struggle to me to stay right with him. Amen. It's worth the struggle to continue to believe God and continue to walk with God. It is not easy to do sometimes, but it's right to do. And sometimes it flies in the face of everything that everybody else would say, but we need to do what God is saying to do. Amen. And so instead of starting, I want y'all, you know, you can go ahead and pre-read and going into chapter 6, because we're there now, you know, chapter 6. And I don't want to start chapter 6 right now. I want to stop right here. That they were warned not to preach. They were not only warned, they had took a butt whooping. And instead of getting mad and having venom and all that stuff, it was like, I'm so glad they think I'm worthy to take a beating. That means I have preached well. If they're mad at me, I have done a good job. This is better than any paycheck I could have got. This is the way it's supposed to be. They were looking for paved roads. They were looking for the rough side. Because the dude they were following was always being run out of churches and always having things going on. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. He was always dealing with stuff and running from people and having to hide from this and having. And he had some pretty powerful partners with him. Now, Peter wasn't no plaything. When they came to get Peter, y'all might have forgot, because, you know, you say, well, you shouldn't carry a weapon. Peter had a knife with him. That dude reached for Jesus and Peter cut his ear off so fast he didn't hear it coming. You know, something ain't right. Jesus said, Peter, I ain't tell you to go, homie. No. Pray for him, put his ear back on. I think he ought to be the first witness telling everybody, man, look here. Hey, player. Hello here. We went to get that dude. Partner cut my ear off. He said, no. Yeah, I still got a little piece of gravel right here. It's in between the ear and the skin. But it's a reminder of what he did. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. I mean, he should have been running around town. Listen, don't mess with him. Because when they first came, they said, we're looking for Jesus. He said, I am he. And everybody fell back. He spoke with. You're not sure you came looking for. That means he wasn't cowering down when he told them who he was. He said, you came looking for me. This is why I was sent. Today is the day. Here I am. Whew. See, this is what I've been living for my whole life. Today, I was scared of it, but I'm right here. Peter! Ha! No, this day got to happen, partner. Here, come on. Y'all take me out. He said, listen, I could have stopped you. I could have called for angels to take me down. I let you do it to me. He stood in it with power. And his boys say, I'm so glad that we've been found worthy to receive shame for his name, punished because of him. Y'all get it? I think we miss what our attitude should be. I don't want nobody, you know, if I talk about the Lord, people might not be like, they might not like me. They might be uncomfortable if I talk about the Lord. And you don't understand, man, I'm trying to get my 401k right. I'm trying to get my life together and I could lose my job. And is it not the same God that bless you with the job that you're afraid of speaking up for? Y'all understand what I'm saying? At his discretion. At his discretion. He'll tell you to go and be a troublemaker everywhere, but he might tell you to speak up. And when he does, you can't be so scared that you don't speak up. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? I just thank God for this wonderful day. Whew. Man, this has blessed my soul. God, I thank you for reminding us how important it is for us to be the church that you've called. It is not that old church. Something I said yesterday, I need to close, man. I'm done. But I was just reminding them, listen, we're trying to look like the old church instead of the new church. The new church is something completely different than the model that we're following. So I challenge you, man, find him. Find him. He'll tell you how to do. Amen. Stand with me. Let me pray for you guys this morning.